morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, March 25th, 2010, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Continuing the focus on water and water issues this week, we talk to the Think Outside the Bottle campaign. And let's not forget to turn out the lights this Saturday for Earth Hour.
Portland area weather. It's going to be showers for the next few days, except maybe Saturday could be nice. Partially sunny and highs in the 60s.
Investigators have finally got around to interviewing Portland police officer Jason Walters. Walters has been characterized as very Portland, a bike-riding vegan, so they say. He's also the man who fatally shot a transient who is wielding nothing more than a razor blade. We're going to talk this morning with Israel Baer, the director of Street Roots, which is a notable publication by and for people who have experienced life on the streets. Good morning, Israel. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
I have one question for you. How do people who live on the street view Portland police? Police and people who are homeless or on the street spend way more time out, on the roads than most regular citizens. How do you believe the homeless people experience their interactions with Portland police? What's the atmosphere like?
Well, it's a very complex issue. I think that the vast majority of interactions are, positive. I think that individuals on the streets recognize that the police bureau oftentimes are enforcing laws directed from the city, the county, other state agencies that enforce laws against people. So, I think it's a very complex issue, and I think that you would get a range of different responses from different people on the streets depending on who you talk to.
But because, of course, it is dangerous for people to live on the street, and in one respect they rely on the police for protection. But, of course, if something goes haywire, as it did, obviously, at the Hoyt Arboretum, then a person who is transient and is not able to cope easily with issues, basic things like personal grooming, they're going to look deranged or in disarray and attract the wrong kind of attention from the police. Can you just briefly tell us what you'd like to see the police do in a situation such as the Arboretum incident?
Well, I think there's still a lot of information that needs to come out, so I don't want to speculate on any specific thing. I think we would love to see the police bureau and City Hall work on, how officers are not only trained, but how they are responding to crisis situations, specifically people with mental health, people experiencing homelessness, et cetera, et cetera. That's on the front end. On the back end, I think, there's no question that we need a clear body to be able to do independent reviews of police officers to determine whether a specific case was legitimate or not.
Thanks so much for that. We've been speaking with Israel Baer, the director of Street Roots, a wonderful publication. Again, thank you so much, Israel, for joining us at short notice.
Thank you.
How about a new slogan for Oregon? Greens, girls, and guns. Okay, maybe it sounds better in Latin. But the point is we have more gunplay in the Rose City, this time in Lloyd Center. Portland police say three people have been detained after shots were fired last night inside the mall. Witnesses told the local TV station that rival gang members were gathered outside one store when a fight broke out. The witnesses say a young man fired several rounds. No injuries were reported.
Well, that's good. Doing a bit better there. Here in Cascadia, we, of course, take water for granted. It seems to be around us everywhere. Nestle is interested in Cascade Locks right now. The idea is that they're going to take water out of a stream, bottle it, and sell it. Joining us this morning is the Food and Water Watch Northwest organizer, Julia DeGraw. Thank you so much for being with us today, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
Well, talk a little bit about the Nestle project.
Well, Nestle is interested in opening up its first water bottling facility in the Northwest here in Oregon. They would like to bottle Oxbow spring water from the town of Cascade Locks, as well as bottle the city's municipal water under the Nestle Pure Life brand. The spring water would be bottled under the Arrowhead brand. And Food and Water Watch is a consumer advocacy group that protects our, we work to protect our essential resources, food and water. And one of our major goals is to keep Nestle from opening up a new water bottling facility in this in the Columbia River Gorge.
Why do you think Nestle locked on to the idea of Cascade Locks? Didn't mean to make a pun there, but why did they target this particular township?
Nestle has a track record of going into rural communities that have spring water near them and targeting rural communities that have hit hard economic times, like Cascade Locks has undergone the decline of the timber industry and has hit hard economic times, and they come in and say, we're going to bring your town some jobs and help you develop an economy. That's what they pretty much do, is they offer jobs to these towns, and they often undermine their own water resources in order to get a few jobs.
Yes, and the Nestle Corporation has a bit of a record in the Department of Social Justice and Environmental Degradation. There is on Monday an event happening it is 11:30, I believe.
Yes, 11:30.
We're trying to get a petition together. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
Yes, this is a state-level issue. This is Oregon's water. And we want to make sure that all the Oregonians in the state who have a feeling on this can have their voices heard. So we've been collecting petition signatures from all over the state. We have over 4,000 of them thus far. And we're going to be delivering these petition signatures to the department, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The particular spring water that Nestle would like to bottle is currently used by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for a fish hatchery. And they have the rights to that water. And they are considering, under a year-long process, a water rights exchange with the city of Cascade Locks, where the city would gain part of the water right to the Oxbow spring water, and then they would sell that water to Nestle. So we're asking citizens from all over Oregon to come out and ask the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to not move forward with this water rights exchange that would be one of the major steps toward Nestle being able to open up this water bottling facility.
Well, thank you so much for that. We've been talking with Julia DeGraw, Northwest organizer with Food and Water Watch. A lot more complex issues here to talk about, and we'd love to have you back as a guest on Air Cascadia again in the near future.
Thank you very much. I'd like to do that.
Thanks so much.
Metro has dished up nearly $2 million in community nature grants. The grants are part of a $227 million bond measure approved by voters in 2006. Most of the money goes to buying and preserving natural areas, an extension of a program that has acquired more than 10,000 acres for Metro over the years. Some of the bond money is distributed to cities, nonprofits, and special districts for neighborhood-level projects.
Initiative drives and petition gathering are as much a part of the Oregon bioregion as salmon. No, wait, the salmon are pretty much gone. In any case, now, a federal judge has upheld a 2007 law tightening regulations on initiative drives. Conservative opponents are crying foul, but Judge Michael Hogan says that the intent is simply to keep it legal.
California's Secretary of State yesterday certified an initiative that would legalize recreational marijuana use. That's a progressive idea. And it comes with a serious honesty payload. The question no one involved in the weed wars ever asks is, whose party is this, yours or some doctor's? So it is that this November, California voters will decide whether to legalize recreational marijuana use for adults. If the proposition is approved, California would become the first state to legalize recreational marijuana use.
And it's the only way they're ever going to balance their budget. So there's that going for it, too. Hydrate. The advertising screams at us from computer screens, TVs, and billboards. buy a plastic bottle of water at every opportunity. But what are we really buying into? Corporate Accountability International has launched the Think Outside the Bottle campaign with a wonderful film called The Story of Bottled Water. Joining me by phone from the Boston area is my guest, Kristen Urquizo, with the Think Outside the Bottle campaign. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much. Talk a little bit about what the Think Outside the Bottle is all about.
Would love to. It's a national campaign led by Corporate Accountability International that is really working to promote, protect, and ensure public funding for our public water systems, as well as challenging corporate control of water. So we have a huge educational campaign that's helping unveil the curtain behind the mystery of bottled water and showing folks across the country that really what you're paying for is not what it's worth.
Why is it it's so important to keep water resources in the public hands? What would privatization, increasing privatization of water resources
right.
mean?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked me that. We believe that water is a human right, and as such, it should be controlled by democratically controlled governments that are accountable to people versus privatization, which means controlled by corporations that are accountable to their shareholders in the bottom line. So what ends up happening when systems are privatized, whether it's in the developing world where outright systems are privatized, or here in the United States where the bottled water industry is aggressively trying to sell us a product that we get basically for free for our tap, you get two streams of water, one for people who can afford it and one for everybody else. And when you're talking about something as essential to life as water, there's really no question in our minds about who should be controlling that water. And so that's why we're working for not only a country, but a world in which water is in the hands of people versus corporations.
Well, there are other downsides to it. Obviously, companies such as Nestle and the bottling companies that have been selling people water in plastic for so many years and with such enormous profits. There are other They've already said, well, you've got to drink a lot of water, and that's a good thing. What are some of the other problems associated with the whole bottling process?
There are, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have 2 hours for the show. But
well, we'd love to have you back to talk more about it.
Of course. I would love to come back. But just in a nutshell, there are intense environmental as well as consumer rights and taxpayer issues with the issue of bottled water. So when you think about the just extracting bottled water from a source, say, for example, Cascade Locks there in Oregon and trucking it to places all throughout the Northwest or, you know, the country, it's just the environmental footprint of bottled water is just atrocious in comparison to its competition, which is tap water, the most sustainable beverage out there. And in addition to that, there are so many hidden costs to bottled water. So cities and states are really just footed with the bill of cleaning up after these, you know, bottles are either thrown away or not, you know, thrown away, left in on the side for, you know, folks to clean up afterwards. So there's huge economic, huge environmental costs to bottled water.
The campaign, the Think Outside the Bottle campaign, on your website, there's wonderful directions for how communities can get on board with that. Can you get listeners know the website where they could find out more about this and participate?
Yes. ThinkOutsideTheBottle.org is our main website. You can find information there on how to get involved locally in the community, as well as in our national efforts, and to view the story of bottled water, which I think is a great short video to really help, you know, educate folks about where the manufactured demand from bottled water is coming from. So thinkoutsidethebottle.org is where you can find us.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Kristen Urquizo with the Think Outside the Bottle campaign and with Corporate Accountability International. Thanks again for that, Kristen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
They're not just barbarians. Tea Partiers are branching out into vandalism. At least 4 Democratic offices in New York, Arizona, and Kansas were struck, and at least 10 members of Congress have reported threats, including obscenity-laced phone messages, congressional leaders have said. No arrests have been reported. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi condemned vandalism and threats against members of Congress who voted for sweeping health care changes, and House Republicans who fought the legislation joined in urging people to calm down. This has been Eric Cascadia for Thursday, March 25th, 2010. Engineering is Emily Young. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You've been hearing news and comment from Air Cascadia on KBOO Community Radio, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.fm on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thanks so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Mike Rozelle on mountaintop removal and Angana Chatterjee on the International People's Tribunal in Indian-administered Kashmir.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support and have a good day.